الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن إبراهيم كان أمة قانتا لله حنيفا ولم يكن من المشركين شاكرا لأنعمه اجتباه وهداه إلى صراط مستقيم Sadaqallahu al-Azim. My most respected brothers and elders, and our mothers and sisters listening at home over the receiver. Alhamdulillah, with the fadl and karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have already entered the month of Dhul-Hijjah, and these first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, as we have heard previously, we have been reading many of the literature on the masjid boards, that these days, the first 10 days, are extremely auspicious. They are extremely blessed. To understand how important these days are, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has actually taken an oath on these days. Now for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take an oath, Allah does not need to take an oath. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the Khaliq. He is the creator of this world, the Akhirat. Everything belongs to Him. He is Malik. He does not have to swear an oath on anything. Despite this fact, Allah has chosen to take an oath on several things which is mentioned in the Quran in different verses. For example, Allah has taken an oath on time. Wal-Asr. Allah has taken an oath on the sun, the moon, wal-shams, wal-qamar. Allah has taken an oath on the steeds of war, the war horses, wal-aadiyati dhabha. Likewise, Allah has taken an oath on dawn, fajr, wal-fajri, wal-layalin ashr, and the 10 nights of the first days of Dhul-Hijjah, first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. Ulama have explained, nights and days, both are intended by this oath. Why is Allah taking an oath on these things? Simply to bring out, to highlight the importance and the value of these things. So when Allah has taken an oath on these 10 days, this highlights the importance of the auspiciousness of these days. And you find the Salaf al-Saliheen, they would take maximum benefit of these type of opportunities. They would be very careful in committing any sin during the entire year, but more especially during these 10 days. They would make the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the entire year, but especially during these occasions, they would exert in the ibadah. There are various riwayat explaining the importance of these days. مَا مِنْ أَيَّامٍ الْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحُ فِيهَا أَحَبُّ إِلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ مِنْ هَذِي الْأَيَّامِ. Righteous deeds, pious deeds done during these days are most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A sahabi asked, even going in jihad, ibadat, pious deeds done during these days is greater than going out in the path of Allah in jihad? Rasulullah said yes. Unless the person goes and he becomes a shaheed. The point here is that these days are days to be spent in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hence in one riwayat, فَأَكْثِرُوهُنَّ فِيهِنَّ التَّسْبِيحِ وَالتَّحْمِيدِ وَالتَّهْلِيلِ وَالتَّكْبِيرِ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, increase your tasbih, your subhanallah. Increase your alhamdulillah. Increase your recitation of la ilaha illallah. Increase your takbir, Allahu Akbar. Salaf al-Saliheen, they would increase their recitation of these tasbihat. So we are hearing these talks, we read about these in the books, but let us implement these beautiful and simple advices of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that we do not deprive ourselves of the blessings of these days. After salat or in the car, while being home, at home, whenever it is, engage in these tasbihat individually. Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. Especially the takbir. One should glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during these Mubarak days. Then of course, the virtues of fasting during these days, in the riwayat of Tirmidhi, each day a person keeps fast, obviously not on the 10th of the Hijjah, that is the day of Eid, but the other 9 days, then according to some riwayat, it is equivalent, one day a person keeps fast, it's equivalent to an entire year's fasting. Even ibadah during these nights. Then on the 9th of Arafat, which will be on Thursday, inshaAllah. The day of Arafat, any person who keeps roza during that day, then all the minor sins of the past year, and all the minor sins of the year that is going to come, the future year, are all forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, we will emphasize the fact that this fast is not compulsory. So those who are keeping this roza, inshallah, all of us should try. We encourage everyone to keep this roza, but you should not look down upon that person who is not fasting. Somebody could be a musafir, somebody is sick, somebody is unable to keep. But the virtue is so great. And on that particular day, the day of Arafat, that is that day when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala emancipates so many people from the fire of Jahannam. The Hujjaj assembled on the plains of Arafat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala boasts to the angels, yubahi bihim al-malaika. Allah boasts to the angels about His servants, the Hujjaj who have assembled on the plains of Arafat. May Allah grant every haji hajj mabrur maqbool. May Allah also grant us to go for hajj and umrah, and especially those who have not performed hajj as yet, and hajj has become compulsory on them. My respected brothers and elders, the warning is very stern, very severe in the hadith. Rahmatul Alameen, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was an embodiment of mercy. He actually mentioned, the gist of the hadith is that person who has the ability, and hajj is fard upon him, and still he fails to perform his hajj, he has no excuse whatsoever, then he may die as a Yahudi or a Nasrani. Hence, if hajj is fard on any person, then make the preparations from now for next year. Make the preparations from now. Make that firm decision and resolution that I will now perform my hajj. Don't wait for when I grow elder, when I grow bigger, then when I become more pious, or because once I make hajj, then I have to stop all my wrongs that I'm doing. That we have to stop immediately. The vice, the evil, whatever wrongs we are doing, we have to make a stop to it immediately, whether we go for hajj or don't go for hajj. Nonetheless, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala boasts to the angels. And he said, "Unzuru ila ibadi, ja'uni shu'athan, ubran." They have come from far and wide, min kulli fajin amiq. From every deep ravine they have come. Look at their bodies, their hair is disheveled. They've got dust covered. Dahin, they are standing out under the blazing sun. What is it that they are asking for? Yarjuna rahmati. Allah says, they are asking for my mercy. They're begging for my mercy, for my forgiveness. I normally advise any person going for hajj, and see on the day of Arafat, mashallah, they will have programs in your tent, whatever it is, but sneak out of your camp. Come out quietly where nobody sees you, and go to one end where you supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all alone. You raise your hands, and that is the time to build this connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the time to sincerely beg and cry and ask Allah for forgiveness. Because sometimes when we're in a group, then a person feels a bit shy to make that dua. On the day of Arafat, Allah makes the angels bear witness, قَدْ غَفَرْتُ لَهُمْ, I have forgiven all of them. There is no day in the world when shaitan is so much more disgraced than the day of Arafat. أَصْغَرْ أَحْقَرْ أَغْيَذْ, he becomes angry when he sees Allah forgiving the millions of hujjaj. So these are all important days. What are the important lessons of Hajj, Qurbani, these days of the Hijjah. If one analyzes the lessons of Hajj, the lessons of Qurbani, what is it? What are the salient important features and lessons that we derive from? And that is something we need to reflect upon. Otherwise, we have heard the talks on Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam, Ismail alayhi salatu salam. We know the story of Makkah and Arafat and Mina. Well, what is the lesson? The very first and most important lesson is a lesson of Hubbullah. Love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dhunnun Misri rahmatullahi alayhi. A person, a young person who is going for Hajj, and he passes by the hometown of Dhunnun Misri rahmatullahi alayhi. So he meets him, and while they are busy in a conversation, Dhunnun Misri rahmatullahi alayhi asks his youngster, that you have come from so far, and now you're going for this safar, on this journey towards, for Hajj. You are taking this very arduous, tiresome journey, so far you're going to go. He says, oh Dhunnun, it is arduous for that person who has got no love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That person whose heart is brimming with the love of Allah, for him every step he takes enjoyment and pleasure, he is going to meet his beloved. Qatada rahmatullahi alayhi says, Sami'atu Khalid al-Asri rahmatullahi alayhi yakhtub. Qatada reports, he says, I heard Khalid rahmatullahi alayhi giving a talk in which he says, Ala kullu habibin yuhibbu an yalqa habibahu fa'ahibbu rabbakum wasiru ilayhi sayran jameela. So beautiful. Is every lover loves to meet his beloved. Every ashiq wants to meet his ma'shuq. Every habib wants to meet his mahbub. Every lover wants to meet his beloved. He says, then love your Rabb. The love should be for your Allah, your nourisher, your sustainer, your creator. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حِبَّا لِلَّهِ. He says, and this journey towards Allah, make it an enjoyable journey. A journey that is beautiful. A journey that is full of pleasure. You will be confronted with some obstacles, some hindrances, some tests, some trials. Look at the life of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. وَإِذِ ابْتَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ بِكَلِمَاتٍ فَأَتَمَّهُنْ. There were trials upon trials upon trials. His whole family disowned him. The people in his village, they threw him into the fire. It's easy for us to narrate the story. Take a person and throw him in a blazing inferno. But Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam turned his attention and gazed to Allah. Hasbunallahu ni'mal wakeel. Then the test comes that he has to take his wife, Hajar, and his son Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam to a barren land. Makkah was barren. There were no trees, there were no human beings, there was no cultivation, there were no people, there were no animals, nothing. Takes them and leaves them there. Without a word, he's returning. His wife then calls out to him. What does he leave behind for them? A little bit of water and some dates. He does not know what is going to happen to them. When moth will come to them, whether he will see them again or not. This is the command of Allah. When a person has that love of Allah, then he will submit to the command of Allah. And when a person surrenders to the command of Allah, then he will make the sacrifices for the sake of Allah. Why? Because he loves Allah more than anything else in this world. It is the hukam of my Rabb. So as he's leaving, his wife calls out to him, Ya Ibrahim, are you leaving us all alone here? He says, yes. So immediately, she asks, is this the command of Allah? He says, yes. Now look at her response. This is the command of Allah. She says, Wallah, idhan la yudayyuna. Allah's qasam. Then Allah will never destroy us. Allah will never destroy us. If Allah has commanded you, Allah will take care of us. And then we saw the entire incident episode of Zamzam, how Allah provided for them. And the whole town came about in Makkah. Today, right at this very moment, Makkah is overcrowded. Overcrowded. People from far and wide have come. So there were tests upon tests. And then imagine, then the test comes, now you must sacrifice this child. You have to place a knife on the neck of this child. Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullahi alayhi had mentioned, perhaps the command of killing yourself may have been easier, but not taking the life of your child, that's difficult. That is difficult. Your nafs is pulling on one side, the love of your child. And Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is given a child after such a long period of life, in his life, such a late stage in his life. He's so old and he got a beautiful child. Now he is told that he must sacrifice his child. How difficult it is. Allah is testing. Your muhabbat for your son is more or your muhabbat for me. And he's successful. He passes the test. We know how he submitted, how Ismail alayhi salam submitted. Allah uses the word falamma aslama. Both father and son submit to the command of Allah. So the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is something that we have to bring in front of us. Not only for the haji who's gone, for that Fadl bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, he is the son of Abbas, and therefore he becomes the cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The young boy, mounted on the same camel and making hajj with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How fortunate. He's a young boy, there are temptations, as they're proceeding, he's on the camel, he sees some woman, so he stares towards them, Nabi Akram turns his gaze away. Then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him, Yabna akhi, inna hadha al-yawm, man malaka sam'ahu wa basarahu wa lisanahu ghufira lahu. Oh my nephew, oh my cousin, today is such a day, the day of Arafat, when that person who controls his hearing, he controls his gaze, he controls his tongue, Allah will forgive him. So we are taught again that your gaze should be only on towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, there's an incident of Urwa bin Zubair radiallahu ta'ala. He is making tawaf, and in the tawaf he sees Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu. Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu is making tawaf, he's a great sahabi. Urwa bin Zubair rahmatullahi alayhi is young. Urwa bin Zubair is interested in getting married to the daughter of Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhuma. Her name was Sauda. So he sees him in tawaf. He thinks it's a good opportunity. He comes next to him and he proposes for his daughter. Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhuma falam yujibhu. Walam yatakallam bikalima. He didn't say one word. He continued his tawaf. Urwa thought to himself, I made a mistake. The man is not interested in me as being his son-in-law. I'm never going to ask again for his daughter. It's so embarrassing. Nonetheless, they finish the tawaf and both then proceed on their own towards Madinah Munawwara. Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu reaches first. He comes to the Masjid Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Shortly after that, Urwa bin Zubair comes. He enters, he makes salam, he meets him. Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu heard the proposal during tawaf. He calls him. He says, Urwa, whilst we were making tawaf, you asked for the hand of my daughter Sauda. Urwa, did you have to ask me at that time? وَنَحْنُ نَتَخَايَلُ اللَّهَ فِي أَعْيُنِنَا. At that time, when a person is so immersed, he's so engrossed in his love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is picturing Allah in front of him, he is saying the labbaik, he is reciting the du'as of tawaf, he is now absorbed in his love for Allah. Did you have to ask me at that time, interrupt me at that time? Could you not find any other occasion? Nonetheless, he accepts the proposal, they are married. But the point here again, the house of Allah, in front of Baytullah, to engage in any other conversation, to take out your cell phone and then take pictures, to even pause and stop the whole tawaf because you want to use the Kaaba of Allah, the house of Allah as a background so that you could take a picture. And to send to who? To your friends to show them how sincere you are, how much of ibadat you are making. My respected brothers and elders, the same Kaaba that was built by Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam, Ismail alayhi salatu salam, with great sacrifice, there were no other laborers and helpers to help them, father and son together. After building the Kaaba, imagine the house of Allah, Rabbana taqabbal minna. Oh, Rabb, accept it from us. Accept it. The word taqabbal, if you look into the Arabic, it's not just Rabb al-Rabbana iqbal minna. The word taqabbal from Bab Tafa'ul, showing this ajizi inkisari, this humility, humbleness. We're not even worthy of presenting this to you, O Allah. Ya Allah, kindly accept this building of the Kaaba that we have built. Innaka antas sami'ul alim. So, respected brothers and sisters, the very first and most important lesson is that we must increase our love for Allah. Every one of us does have some love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no doubt about that. This little flame that we have in our hearts, we should now increase this flame of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our hearts. And that can only happen when we realize who our Rabb is, who we are. What is our relation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What is this lesson of Hajj? Whatever the command of Allah is, you are draped for the men, of course, in these two sheets of ihram. The women are wearing have donned the ihram. You're moving from Mina, Arafat, Muzdalifah. It doesn't even make sense sometimes. It doesn't appeal to our logic. But no, it is the command of my Allah. No matter who the person is, he may be the most richest person. He's the king who has come to make his hajj. He's also donned in the same ihram. Same two sheets. Allah wants us to go from place A to place B and come back and to sacrifice the animal, make the office ziyarat, make safa marwa. This is the command of my Allah. Qurbani also. Perhaps some person may not make any logic. Ma'ad Allah. We are not people who follow our logic. We are those who follow Quran and Sunnah, whether it appeals to us or does not appeal to us. We find this question coming all the time. Qurbani, can't I just give money to the poor people? One person has seen a dream. He did not make Qurbani. He felt it's more logical to give some poor person some money. He sees a dream that night. It is a dream that the day of Qiyamah has come about. And everybody who made the Qurbani are now mounted on the conveyance and they're crossing Pul Sirat very easily. And he asks, where's my conveyance? Allah reminds him, where's the Qurbani? Where's the Qurbani? لَيَّنَالَ اللَّهَ لُحُومُهَا وَلَا دِمَاؤُهَا وَلَاكِي يَنَالُهُ تَقْوَى مِنْكُمْ. It's not the meat or the blood that reaches Allah. It is the taqwa, the sincerity. Again on the day of Eid. We are not those who will take pictures of our animals and show what a healthy animal we sacrifice. My brothers, do it for the sake of Allah. Do it solely for the pleasure of Allah. Not to show people, not to brag about it. Yes, choose a good animal. Choose the best of animals. That should be our fervor. This is the qurbani for Allah. So the submission, we learn love. When a person has a love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will submit, he will surrender before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he will do this submission, surrender, and whatever command Allah has given him, with that fervor, with that great spirit, enthusiasm, with loyalty. And then he will be able to make those sacrifices. He'll be able to make those sacrifices for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A beloved of Allah commences his day when? At the time of tahajjud. At the time of tahajjud, why? My Allah is calling me. My Allah is there to forgive me. That's my day starts at tahajjud time. And then he goes to fajr in the cold. And he's supplicating before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's bowing down before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And after salat also, he's engaged in dhikrullah, in tasbihat. When he wakes up in the morning, what does he say first? The very first thing that comes out of his lips, Alhamdulillahilladhi ahyana. Praise be to my Allah. This is the difference between the lovers of Allah and weak people like myself. When we just perform an action, it becomes a ritual with no feeling. That sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who's guarding the Muslim army We have mentioned this incident many times. But let's reflect upon this and see how it ties to the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His friend, besides the two of them, they've been commanded by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to just guard the Muslim army. Whilst the Muslim army had settled down and most of them were asleep, they were at the borders and they were just guarding any enemy from spying on the Muslim army or attacking. So one said, whilst I'm awake, you can rest, and then I'll wake up, and then you can rest. They agreed. So the one sahabi is lying down, he falls asleep. And the other one, he's watching, observing to see any enemy is coming. After some time he decides, I'm not going to waste my time, or I'd rather just engage in salat at least. All he does, Allahu Akbar, he recites his surah Fatiha, and he commences suratul Kahf. And as he's reciting, an enemy sees him. And he shoots an arrow that strikes him into his body. The sahabi actually continues his salah. A second arrow, he still does not terminate his salah. When the third arrow strikes, he falls forward, he lunges forward, and he is bleeding profusely, and his companion wakes up. What has happened? He realizes now we have been attacked, and the enemy runs away. He asks him, why didn't you break your salah? He says, Wallah, Allah's qasam, I commenced such a beautiful surah. I was so absorbed. I was in communion with my Allah, reflecting on the verses of my Rabb. Like a poet says, Taz'umu hubbi, Allah Ta'ala says, it's a poem, that you claim that you love me. فَلِمَ هَجَرْتَ كِتَابِي Why have you abandoned my Qur'an? أَمَا تَأَمَّلْتَ مَا فِيهِ مِنْ لَذِيذِ خِطَابِي Aren't you pondering over the beautiful verses that I've got in the Qur'an? The beautiful message. Allah said, I'm talking to you, but you have abandoned my message. So he says, I started Surah Kahf. I did not want to terminate this beautiful surah. May Allah give us that love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah give us that lesson of qurbani, of sacrifice, that we are placing the knife on our nafs. Hazrat Thani rahmatullah alayhi says, مُخَالَفَةَ nafs. That's the lesson of qurbani. And that whatever our nafs desires, the evil temptations we have, the lust, the passion, we are going against it for the sake of Allah. And then this flame of Allah becomes more and more and more larger. Those who are gone for hajj again, we make dua Allah, accept the hajj. Hajj mabroor. There is no reward but Jannat. May Allah Ta'ala accept the Hajj, make it be a Hajj free from any type of mishaps and accidents and any bala or musibat. May Allah make them return like how Rasulullah has mentioned, Raza'aka yawma waladatu ummu. The Haji returns like the day his mother gave birth to him. All his sins are forgiven. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.